Find a comfortable position, everybody. And focus on your breathing. As you focus on your breathing, try to go deep and slow so that you can really relax, so that you can really come back to your natural quiet state. And allow your body to find stillness. Or any distractions, notice the sense organ that's recording those distractions. Realize that it's simply stimulation of the sense. You don't have to attribute any meaning to it. So allow yourself to stay still, regardless of what's happening in the environment. And the more you focus on your breathing, the more you're going to be able to disregard whatever is happening in the background. And as you become still, you become more aware of what's taking place inside of you. As you become still, try to focus on the area of your body where you feel the strongest sensation. So just allow yourself to scan your body and see if you can find somewhere inside your body that feels more intense or more activated or more energy than any other place, any other body part. And as you focus on that body part, as you focus on that area, try to breathe towards that area. Try to bring more attention to that area. And as you focus, as you bring your attention, see if you can feel what's behind that sensation. What's happening? Could be something that you did physically, could be something like eating could make you feel sensations in your stomach. Or it could be thinking that can make you feel sensations in your mind, your brain. Or any other place. Because our body is constantly working for us. Our body is constantly doing different functions in order to allow for our continued existence. So we want to learn how to tune into our body, to try to understand what's taking place, to try to understand what's affecting our thinking, what's affecting our experience. Because the spirit is pure potential. The spirit has no inclination to desire anything, and therefore her natural state is bliss. But the body has different needs. The body has different desires. The body has different things that make it feel better and other things that make it feel less good. And so the body is the one that takes the spirit to wherever it's going. So we want to learn to take our attention, take the life force of our spirit, and focus it on our body in order to allow ourselves to feel more comfortable inside of our body, to feel that we ourselves are safe, that we ourselves are comfortable with reality. And so one of the first areas where we might lose comfort with reality is in the body, and then the mind will find excuses. The mind will find reasons. The mind will look for interpretations in order to feel control, in order to feel like it has a solution to whatever is wrong, that it knows how to avoid something in the future. So when the spirit focuses its attention on the body, it can become any body part. The spirit, the nature of the spirit, is that it can identify as any concept or anything or any person or any idea. And so the spirit is constantly defining itself as different things in order to experience life from different angles, in order to receive from life what it thinks it wants. And so as the spirit focuses on the body, the spirit starts to identify again as the body. Spirit starts to remember its base in the world of matter. And so we want that base in the world of matter to be solid, to be comfortable, to be under the control, under the instruction of the spirit. So then when the spirit feels that the body is safe, the body is comfortable, then she can think about life, think about reality in favorable terms, in ways that are pleasing to the spirit itself and to life. Because when the spirit is comfortable, the spirit is flowing with nature. The spirit is experiencing in a way that is in line with its own nature and the nature of the universe. When the spirit takes on information that's uncomfortable, or the body feels uncomfortable, then the spirit feels opposition to nature, opposition to reality, and then it loses its access. All spiritual punishment, all forms of suffering that we go through for spiritual reasons based on our behaviors, are all controlled. They all manifest from the person's own spirit, from within, from the spirit that saw the deed, from the spirit that witnessed the reality that took place, that offended nature, and then the spirit manifests in a way that incorporates that offense into the experience. And so, in order for us to find forgiveness for whatever we misunderstood in life, we must return to the spirit her natural right to feel comfortable, to be peaceful, to experience silence. Because from there, the spirit can be kind to life. From there, the spirit can perceive reality in ways that cause the universe to interact with that spirit favorably, to give that spirit what it desires. That's the drive of the spirit. The drive of the spirit is to receive its desires. But the spirit doesn't necessarily know what it desires. Every spirit has a drive to fulfill its desires. That's within the nature of the human spirit. But every human spirit believes it has different desires. And according to that belief, according to how we interpret reality, that's going to dictate whether we can receive our desires or our desires are going to be withheld from us. So it's in the nature of the desire and how it was created that's going to cause the experience of the spirit, whether it's going to enjoy the fulfillment of that desire or it's going to suffer the answer from reality that is not in accordance with the desire of the spirit. And so, when the spirit is silent, then it can remember its desires. When the spirit is being told by others or by the own mind over and over and over again what it desires, then it cannot know what it desires, it cannot remember. It just gets confused and tries to run after whatever it was told. And that can take a lifetime to wake up from. Maybe even multiple lifetimes. Because when the spirit leaves and it has unfulfilled desires, then those desires still perpetuate the path of the spirit. They still are driving her to the fulfillment because the spirit is divine. The divine, when it desires, it fulfills. That's the nature of divinity, is that it brings out realities from within it and gives them sustenance, gives them life, the way that our divine spirit does in the world of thought. Whatever we desire in the world of thought, immediately we have. If we know how to desire, then we can create for ourselves a palace in the world of thought. If we don't know how to desire, then we look to our senses and they tell us what to desire. And then we become the fool that tries to fulfill everybody else's desires. Because everybody else is presenting what they're interested in, and we haven't seen the true nature of the spirit. The true nature of the spirit hides beyond the senses. The true nature of the spirit hides in the dimensions that cannot be perceived by the senses. And so when we create desires that are external to our nature, then we don't realize the spirit. Our spirit becomes confused and starts running after those desires. And then it never realizes itself, and then it never really understands its true desire. And therefore that desire can never be fulfilled. And so this perpetuates the bondage that causes people to come back into this world again and again. Because what their spirit desires can only be fulfilled in this world. There's no other place where they're going to receive fulfillment of the senses. There's no other place where they're going to have senses. So they end up coming back again and again to the world of the senses. But In reality, the senses were given to us as a mechanism for survival, as a mechanism for interaction, not to identify and not to create desires for things that we cannot attain. That causes the spirit to lose its divinity, that causes the spirit to lose the realization that whatever it wants, it has. That's the nature of the spirit in the world of thought. And so as we become concerned with the world of matter, where it's not whatever the spirit wants, it has, the spirit has to go through many different sufferings to have what it wants. So then we forget that in the world of thought, we are divine, we have all the power. In the world of matter, we also have all the power, but as a collective, not on the individual level. And so as we're conflicted about how to interact with the possessions and the people around us, so then in the world of matter, we cannot manifest our divinity. In the world of matter, we are no longer divine. In the world of matter, we are challenged for whatever we want to receive. But in the world of thought, we still have our divine nature. In the world of thought, whatever we desire to imagine instantly appears. And that's the world where our true desires reside in. That's the world that the spirit knew even before it was incarnated into a body. That's the world that the spirit is going to return to once it loses access to the senses. So allow your spirit the privilege to become silent, to return to its infinite potential, so that it can create in the world of thought based on its true desires, based on its true nature. Don't allow the identities that were created by the senses to confuse you about who you really are. You can identify as whatever you want. That's the power that you have. When you identify as that, then you're going to experience that as your reality. You're going to feel good if that succeeds. You're going to feel bad if it fails, because that's the nature of the spirit. It can invest its identity in whatever it pleases, whatever it wants. And then it works for that identity. It gives itself over. It worships its identity. It's the nature of the spirit. Nothing that can be perceived by the senses can truly define you. In your imagination, it can. In your experience, it will, if you imagine it. But in reality, you cannot be anything that you can perceive by your senses. You don't even live on those dimensions. You don't exist there. You only interact with it. So invest all your identity in your true nature, so that you can remember what you desire. What you truly desire cannot be perceived by the senses. If it's perceived by the senses, then it's maintenance. Then it's survival. But it cannot be your true desire. Your true desire must be in the same dimensions as your true nature. Your true desires cannot exist in the world of matter. So allow yourself to relax, to surrender to what's already there, to open yourself up to seeing life anew, seeing it for the first time, seeing it, knowing that you are not what you're looking at. Allow yourself to find peace, to find silence, to know that you're safe, because you are safe. Whatever calculations you have that you're basing your safety on, those calculations are meaningless. You're not safe because of those calculations. You're safe for a very different reason. You're safe because you exist in a dimension where you are always safe. This is how, through everything that has happened throughout your life, you're still there. You're there because you're always safe, regardless of the circumstances. Circumstances will come and go, and you're going to be there still. That's what makes you safe. So if you're feeling safe because you think you have control over the circumstances, that's nonsense. You're safe because you can't be not safe. Because that's the nature of who you are. You absolutely exist. And that's as safe as you can possibly be. So allow yourself to surrender to what already is. Find safety in what is. That's where you are. And so you can perceive from that place of truth. You can perceive a realization about what it means to be you that will give you more energy, that will give you more desire to live, that will give you a positive experience while you're going through this experiment, while you're incarnated in this body. So allow yourself to be yourself.